Welcome once again to The Word on the Hills, with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer. Each week, we visit with a local author, get an introduction to their work, and a glimpse into their lives. We ask them what prompts them to write, and give them an opportunity to read from their work. This week, we're very pleased to welcome Brian Mullally. Brian and his artist wife Maureen have lived in Northumberland County for over 40 years, first in the country and now in Coburg. They raised their 5 children here and for many years worked as a real estate partnership, so they know Northumberland very well. You've been living here for a very long time. Do you use this locality as a setting often, Brian?
In my second novel, called Make Me an Offer, it tells of a love affair between two men and a woman growing up in a small Ontario town, much like Coburg.
You also make good use of your life experience in your fiction, so some of your stories have completely different settings. And then there's your historical novel, If I Were a Blackbird. Tell us something about how your experiences and family history have played out in your fiction.
I became interested in researching my family history 30 years ago. Chasing down your ancestors is an absorbing hobby. It's like being a detective in search of clues. But my children didn't find the statistic very interesting, so I decided to create stories about our ancestors. I stayed true to the basic facts, but used my imagination to fill in some of the blanks.
You're one of the most prolific writers I know. At a guess, how many short stories have you written?
I have written more than 70 short stories, and I have the beginnings of about 50 more in my computer, waiting for me to find an ending.
You've won several awards for your writing, Brian. What's your secret for writing winning stories? Do you have any advice for others entering competitions?
Persistence. Competitions often receive more than 1,000 entries, so the chance of winning are less than 1%. I entered more than 100 contests a year for a while before I finally hit a winning streak.
Some of the stories and novels you've written have been autobiographical, and you've also written memoir. Your book, Make Me an Offer, as you said, is fiction, of course, though your experience as a real estate agent was useful, I'm sure. But I've really enjoyed hearing you read about your childhood and also the novel you're working on at present, which is about your time as a steward on an airline just after World War II. Could you read something that comes from your own life?
This is an excerpt from a story about my mother. It's called The Real Thing, and the story begins when she's an old lady and her son is relating various incidents that have occurred during her long life. Some days I think I have two mothers. Today I'm looking at this frail old woman staring at me with reproachful eyes, trying not to listen to her pleas. "Take me home, Bri," she begs. I'm visiting her 3 times a day now and squeezing my real estate appointments in between, struggling to make a living and juggling my filial responsibilities. Maureen has taken over a few of my clients. Some days we drive past each other and wave, and some nights we're too tired to talk. Mum has finally stopped crying. She's doped up with morphine. I lift up her old head and help her sip water, then hold her hand. I try to remember an earlier version of my mother by conjuring up the old photograph that sits on her dressing table. It was taken on the day she left her Devonshire village, a pretty 15-year-old girl wearing a perky little beret, smiling at the world in all innocence, as she leaves her childhood behind and goes to London. I turn a few more pages in my imagination until I come to a photograph of a vibrant young woman with thick black hair taken in 1938. Mum is wearing a shiny silk skirt covered with black and white squares and a cream-coloured summer soft blouse with a floppy bow tied at her throat. An open bolero jacket throws shadows on the curve of her breast. I can remember seeing this outfit of Mum's on Mum's older sister, Auntie Ivy. I think it looks much nicer on my mother. I'm the 9-year-old boy standing beside her with my jacket all buttoned up, neatly pressed grey flannel shorts. Mum tells me to pull up my hand-knitted socks before Cousin Jerry takes the photograph. We've just disembarked from the Dartmouth ferry. If you look close, you can see our battered old suitcase behind us. I was proud of my beautiful mother that day, and I still remember wishing she wouldn't make me hold her hand. The next day we promenade along the seafront. It's Mum's moment of triumph. She was only 15 the last time she walked along this embankment. Now she's twice that age. An elderly fisherman touches the peak of his cap. "Good morning, miss. Fancy a sail around the harbour?" Mum smiles and clutches her white straw hat against the sea breeze. "Good morning, Captain Bellamy. I don't suppose you remember me." The seaman's eyes crinkle against the sun. "Can't say I do, miss." Mum tilts her chin. "I'm Minnie Saunders, Dido's youngest daughter." He removes his cap and scratches his grey head. "Well, I never," he began, in a voice as thick as Devonshire cream. "Why, you was just a maid the last time I saw thee." Mum gives him a radiant smile. "Well, I'm a married woman now, Captain Bellamy." The breeze plucks at the hem of my mother's skirt. The old seaman nods appreciatively as he removes his pipe and spits into the wind. "Well, I'm buggered," he says in a loud whisper. It was so embarrassing. Everywhere we go, people stare at us. My mother clip-clops down narrow cobbled streets in her high heels, searching for old friends and neighbours. We stop to inspect the tins of Devonshire cream stacked in the window of an old-fashioned dairy. And Mum tells me how she worked there when she was a 12-year-old schoolgirl. We didn't have milk bottles in them days, so twice a day I carried two big buckets of milk on a wooden yoke slung over my shoulders and ladled fresh milk into the housewife's jugs. We climb up a long stone stairway, cut like a gash into the hillside, as it winds between the old grey stone cottages. When we reach the summit, I stare down at the ancient stone jetties of Bayard's Cove and the green hills beyond, and try to imagine the Mayflower making its last landfall in England before leaving for America. Then I watch a man row a dinghy up the river, crawling across the blue water like a beetle. Mum breaks the silence. "The dairy people used to water down their milk when they thought I wasn't looking. It didn't make the buckets any lighter. I had to carry them right up to the top of these blimmin' steps. I used to cry myself to sleep some nights with my aching back." A phrase of my father leaps to my lips. "Bloody slave drivers," I mutter. "What did you say, Brian?" "Nothing, Mum. You said bloody. What if I did? You say it all the time." "That's different. I'm Devonshire, and it comes natural to me." The memoir goes on to describe various events in my mother's life as the years pass. Okay, I've got to blow my nose, actually.